Amen. That's something we should all strive for. When that roll is called up yonder, we want to be there. I'd like to say good morning to the congregation as well as our visitors. It's another opportunity that has been given me by our elders to present to you a lesson from the Word of God. This is another day that the Lord has made. Cold or not, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Because we have been privileged to see another day. The Lord has definitely been good. Now, the scripture that was read for you this morning comes from Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." This statement by Jesus can also be found in Mark 8:34 and Luke 9:23. In Matthew 10, verse 38, Jesus says it like this, "And he who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." Mark 10 and verse 21, Then Jesus looking at him loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven." Then he says, "Come, take up your cross and follow me." In Matthew 16, Mark 8, and Luke 9, he makes this statement after Peter's confession that he is the Christ. Matthew 10 is made as Jesus is about to send his disciples on the limited commission. Luke adds the word daily. Take up your cross daily and follow me. The fact that this particular statement is found more than one time, and I'm not just talking about the way that we know that the Gospels, if it's said in Mark and said in Matthew, it's said in Luke. I'm talking about it's made on other occasions, at different occasions. That means that it's something important that we need to look at in this. It's very, very important. So what is he talking about then? He's talking about discipleship. And more to the point, he's talking about the cost of discipleship. What is a disciple? A disciple is one who is a follower or a student of a group or an individual. Someone that believes and is willing to learn and willing to devote his life to the teachings of that individual. When we look at the counting the cost, we look at Luke 14:27-32. "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you..." Now he's getting to the point of trying to explain to you that you need to understand what you're about to do. "For which of you who is starting to build a tower won't at first sit down, count what it's going to cost, make sure I have all the materials, make sure you have all of what? The permits that you need in the city. You don't just get started on a project unless you know that you can complete it, that you can see it to its completion, until you finish it. Or what king..." "That is about to embark in a war does not first consider how many soldiers he has in comparison to how many soldiers. If he doesn't see that he can win, if somebody's coming, won't he first send out people and try to come to terms of peace? So likewise, Whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Therefore, the first part of this talks about denial, self-denial. It's very important that we understand that self-denial is a necessity. It's necessary for us when we start to embark on or come to the idea that we want to make a commitment to Christ, we have to understand that we have to deny ourselves. In Luke 14 and 16, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, this word hate, the meaning of it is better understood if we look at Matthew 10:34. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. The word hate here means to love less. He that comes after me and does not love his father, mother, brother, sister, friend, rabbi, priest, whatever you want, if he doesn't love them less than me, he's not worthy of me. He cannot be my disciple. We have to give things up. Now, the commentary, I like this. We are not at liberty, literally, to hate our parents. This would be expressly contrary to the fifth commandment. But we are to love them less than we love Christ. We are to obey Christ rather than them. We are to be willing to forsake them if he calls us to go preach or to do whatever. If we're accepting the calling of Christ, we need to deny that. We need to forsake them if they're trying to hold us back. When he takes them away from us, even then, we need to look to him. We need to stay the course, and we'll get into that. We can't let anything in this world get in the way between our relationship with Jesus. That's the bottom line. Not money, like the rich ruler did when he was told to sell all he had and give to the poor, and what? Come and follow me. He walked away. He walked away sad because he had a lot of riches, a lot of money. He could not give up what he needed to do to follow Jesus. We can't let that get in our way. We cannot let our family. Now, in Matthew 10, he talks about he came not to bring peace but a sword. And that goodness of the gospel, the goodness of the word of God, when it entered into the world, was going to cause conflict. A lot of times that conflict was in the family. So he says, you cannot let that get in your way. You cannot allow your parents to discourage you, your friends to say, no. We did a class, not this Wednesday, but the Wednesday before, on tough questions. One of the questions was, well, won't my friends laugh at me? You cannot let their influence. You're supposed to influence them to come to Christ. You cannot let them influence you. Because can they save you? Did they die for you on the cross? What can they give you and offer you that you really need? And that's eternal life. We can't let honor, we can't think of ourselves as so high, or our status to be so great, that it gets in the way. If, I don't care if you're the President of the United States, you need to understand and obey the gospel. I don't care if you're the King of England, the gospel needs to come first. Christ needs to come first. In verse 25, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever whoever loses his life will save it. That means that I have decided to give my life to Christ. Once I take that commitment, I've saved my life. Or more importantly, Christ has saved it. Secondly, he says, take up your cross. The cross symbolizes cruelty. It symbolizes suffering. It symbolizes pain. It's not something pretty. It's one of the cruelest forms of death. But this is the path that Christ picked up. We talked about him as the suffering servant this morning, where he suffered, where people rejected him. People came and plotted against him. People sought to take his life. When we commit ourselves to Christ, we take on a journey. It's a walk that we must continue in. And it's not going to always be easy. We're not going to always have a smooth road. It's going to be rocky at times. It's going to be thorny at times. We're going to go through trials. The storms of life are going to rise. Through it all, though, we must endure. We must continue to walk that Christian walk no matter what. That's what it means to bear your cross. To take up your cross in the midst of whatever might come your way. James says, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and tribulations. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. In other words, the more I go through, the more trials I make it out to the other side, the more storms that I can endure and get to the other side, the stronger my faith is going to be. The stronger I'm going to be. And I'm able to go on to the next trial. And I'm able to go on to the next storm. Knowing that the Lord is always there for me. That's how you get through it. Knowing that all you have to do is hold on to His hand. Now, we think about Peter. And when Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, he said, Jesus, can I come out to you? Jesus said, come on. Now, as he got out there, his faith was strong enough to believe that Jesus was going to keep him above water until he looked around and saw how the condition of the water was. He saw the storms, brothers. He saw the troubles and took his eyes off Jesus. And what did he do? He sunk. See, if we take our eyes off Jesus, we're not going to be able to make it through the trial. We're not going to be able to make it through the storm. We need him. Now, I want you to understand something. Our cross that we bear is perfect for us. Because he's not going to put anything on us that we can't handle. My cross is not your cross. Your cross is not my cross. We all have individual crosses to bear. There's a story about a cross store. And this guy, he walked in. He goes up to the counter and he talks to the salesperson. He says, you know, lately this cross I've been carrying around, it just doesn't seem to fit me right, or it kind of feels like it's a little too heavy. You have anything else I can look at? Well, the dealer says, right over here we have a good model. Why don't you try it on for size? So he goes over there and he puts it on. No, this is a little too heavy. He has something else and he says, well, right over here, this is our deluxe model. And he goes over here and he puts it, it doesn't really fit my shoulder right. So he goes on and looks at several different crosses. Finally, he comes back to this one and he picks it up and he puts it. Ooh, that fits just right. That's perfect. It's not too heavy. I can move around with it. What is this one? How much does this cost? And the owner said, well, that's the one you came in with. So we have the ability to endure anything that we go through. And that's through God, through Jesus Christ. He is our rock. He is our redeemer. He is our protector. He is the one that gives us the strength. What does Paul say in Philippians? I can do all things through Christ. Not through Paul. Not through some other guy. Not through my mother and father or my friends. Through Christ who gives me the strength to do it. I can bear all things. I can endure all things. I can live through all things. As long as I have Christ on my side, I'm not worried about it. And we need to endure. We need to keep that in our mind because it is He that endures to the end that will get the crown of life. Not he that goes for a couple of years and decides, this is not for me. Or somebody gets 30 years in. Oh, I don't like that guy, so I'm not coming back. It is to the person that puts up with everything and endures all things to the end that gets the crown of life. Lastly, he says, follow me. He is our perfect example, is he not? When we start to think about how to take up our cross, how to walk this Christian pathway, he is the example. He's the example in love. Romans chapter 5, 8 and 9. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He's our example of love. How many of you would get up on the cross? Now, I want you to understand, this was not a half-day thing. The people that were put up on a cross usually were there maybe 2 or 3 days before they died. It was not a quick death. Who would suffer that? Who would get spit on and beaten and scourged with and the Roman whip had pieces of rock and metal and all this, and it was not pretty. Who would go through all of that? I don't know if I could even go through the spitting and the rods, let alone anything else. Jesus went through all of that for us. That is love. We need to find that kind of love for our brethren. Serve each other just like Jesus served us and loved us. In service to others, in obedience, Christ was the ultimate example. And the scripture says he learned obedience even to the point of death, death on the cross. What was his mantra? When he went into the garden, please take this cup, but not my will, but thine. He often referred, I'm not speaking as of myself. I'm speaking of as the Father has given me to speak. These are the examples that he wants us to follow. Learning to look to the Word like he did when he fell into temptation. And yes, we have all we need in the Word to help us. He looked to the Word. When the devil himself stood face to face with Jesus, Jesus quoted the Word. Where else would we go? We need to follow him because he has the words of eternal life. There's salvation in no other name under heaven but through the man Jesus Christ. Through the God-man. No other way to salvation other than through Jesus Christ. Other than through the gospel. The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. We need to follow him. We need to follow him when we don't want to. Or when we don't feel like it. Get up and follow him. There's a famous saying. A lot of churches have the wristband. WWJD, what would Jesus do? When you go through life, that's your mindset. I'm going to follow Christ. I'm going to take Christ. What would Jesus do? We need to follow him because he leads us to eternal life. He leads us to heaven. It's not enough to honor him with lip service. We need to actually walk the walk. We need to walk in the light as he is in the light. We need to continue on when it's hard. Not not just when it's easy, when it's hard. This morning, I want you to consider the gospel of Christ. Consider whether you have given yourself to make the decision. Consider whether you need to make the decision. We all have to come to Christ. And it's going to come a time whether we walk down that aisle, that we're going to be with everybody else, and our knee will bow, and Christ, we're going to say, confess Christ as Lord, right? That's what the book says. Now is your time to consider whether you're willing to go the extra mile, to give your life to Christ. This is your time to consider whether you need Jesus, which we all know you do. This is your time to come to that decision. To understand that you have to come to Him to get for salvation. Salvation is no other place. But I know, as we talk, that the road sometimes is not easy. Sometimes we do get discouraged. Sometimes things do help us to make a little detour. We don't want to make that detour. We want to stay on track. But sometimes we do, because we're human. We fall. And Jesus is right here to pick you up. Jesus wants you to come back. To admit that you were wrong and that you need Him. And that you come forward and you ask the church to pray for you. First pray for yourself that you're forgiven, but ask us to pray for you that you become stronger. If your desire is to give your life to Christ this morning, to take Him on in baptism by believing, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized, and becoming a Christian. The disciples, we're talking about discipleship, the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Same application. A Christian is a follower of Christ. It just takes it to a more specific definition. Disciple, you could be a disciple of Buddha. But when you say, I want to be a Christian, you're asking to be a disciple of Christ. You're asking to be a follower of Christ. If there's anyone that has a need this morning, whether you need prayer for yourself or others, whether you want to take on Christ this morning and become a Christian, the opportunity is yours. And we ask that you would do so this morning as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Number 700.